Today's Bible reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 10, verses 10 to 14, 18 to 21, 31 and 32, and can be found on page 643 of the Pew Bibles. He who winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart of the mouth speaks. The good man bring good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Praise. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. As we stand a prayer, Lord, we pray this morning that your word would remind us of our failure, but also of your grace and mercy, and that you give us new hearts and new tongues. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I do normally try and keep in one passage, but looking at the tongue today from Proverbs, it's going to be a bit of a paper chase, so you'll have to bear with me. But you may want to have your Bibles open in Proverbs chapter 10. Well, our tongues, they're 4 inches long. If weighed, your tongue is about 2 ounces. It's usually invisible, unless you stick your tongue out at me as I'm speaking this morning. It appears insignificant, but helps us pre-digest and swallow food. It can be a handy toothpick. It reveals our health. And most of the microscopic taste buds are on the upper and lower surfaces of the tongue. The tip of the tongue is sensitive to pressure and pain, 6 times more than the back of our hands, and 125 times more than the sole of our feet. Now, the book of Proverbs reminds us we can either be wise or we can be foolish. Exactly the same with our tongue, what we do with our bodies, our different body parts. We can either be wise or foolish. Now, our tongues, our speech, distinguish us from animals. You and I can talk with one another. Of course, we're not the only creatures that make a noise. Some creatures whinny, others bray, others bleat, others roar. But this is all rudimentary. And of course, noise is made in courtship displays, in mating, in announcing a kill, in warning an enemy, in defending a territory. and birds sing and rodents squeak and fish grunt and larger animals have a wider repertoire of noises. There's barking and mooing and meowing and howling and squealing. But only human beings can speak. Why is that? We're made, as the collect said this morning, in the image of God himself. A God who's spoken down the centuries, his word clearly, and spoken supremely through Jesus Christ. And speech is sophisticated and flexible. And the rich relationships we enjoy with one another largely come by speaking to one another. There's that old 19th century saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words or names will never hurt me. Now that's not the case, because with our words we can build and encourage or condemn and hurt and destroy. Proverbs chapters 1 to 9 is the introduction to wisdom. And that's a bit like an ordered necklace of pearls. And then from chapter 10, verse 1, to the end of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 16, there's 375 different proverbs. And if the first 9 chapters are ordered like a necklace of pearls, after chapter 10, verse 1, it's more like an unstrung collection of pearls. There is some order to it as well. Chapters 1 to 9, there's the foolish son and the wise son. And now the comparison changes between the righteous and the wicked. 15 times in Proverbs 10 the word righteous is used, 11 times where wicked is used. There's a common mistake to think that belonging to Jesus Christ, belief in him, is a private thing. But no, that's not the case, because there is an interconnectedness to the whole of life. How we live, how we speak, is not how we become righteous. That's purely through God's grace in Jesus Christ. But how we use our tongues is evidence of whether or not we are real believers, real Christians. 2 main points for this morning. First main point, righteousness is shown when our tongues are restrained. Righteousness is shown when our tongues are restrained. Because we know the power of a tongue. No wonder Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. We've had interesting presidents of the United States before Trump. We had Ronald Reagan, famous press conference. He was there standing. Microphone wasn't quite working, so he tapped it. And then he said, testing it, we're going to bomb Russia and we're bombing begins in 5 minutes' time. It went around the world. You know, careless words. If he'd been more restrained then, it would have been better. You see, our tongues can be a minefield. A number of things about the wise use of the tongue. The wise listen. I'm going to just read out these proverbs to you quickly. Proverbs 10, verse 10, a chattering fool comes to ruin. Chapter 10, verse 17, whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Chapter 12, verse 15, beware of the fool, seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Chapter 18, verse 13, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. And we don't listen because we're vain and find it easier to give advice than to receive advice. And most misunderstandings, whether it's business or family or with our peers, they occur because we haven't listened. If we listened, that wouldn't happen. The wise listen. Next, the wise don't speak when angry. Chapter 12, verse 16, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Chapter 17, verse 27, a man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even-tempered. Oh yes, we may well say something later on, but don't do it in that hot, rash moment. The wise also keep confidences. That is, we don't speak when we should keep something to ourselves. Chapter 11, verse 13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Chapter 12, verse 23, a prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Chapter 18, verse 8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to man's inmost part. The wise keep confidences. The great reformer Martin Luther said this: you're not only responsible for what you say, but also for what you do not say. The wise are also honest. That's chapter 10, verse 18 to 21. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. And Proverbs says we can conceal our hatred. That's what chapter 10 says. And so we're a liar, and also, says the writer, we use our tongues for slander. Come to your mind's eye to the City of London, the Stock Exchange, its motto, dictum meum pactum, my word is my bond. And that was true of the Baltic Exchange and also of Lloyd's underwriters dealing with insurance. And yes, a word was enough and a handshake. And then later on, the paperwork caught up, or nowadays through the emails and electronic documents. And Solomon here points out areas where we can so easily not be honest. False witnesses, they're not just found in a court of law. A truthful witness, 12 verses 17 and 19, gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. What about the falsehood? What about the half-truths? What about the nasty things we've all said? False witnesses, but also flattery. Chapter 28, verse 23, he who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favour than he who has a flattering tongue. Flattery, friends, is hypocritical and it's horrible. False praise, which is not deserved or not meant. And we should beware of buying popularity with deceitful words. Then finally, wise tongues not just listen, they don't just avoid speaking when angry, they don't just keep confidences, they aren't just honest. No, finally, they are constructive. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. See, words are revealers of what's inside someone. So let me leave now righteousness being shown when our tongues are restrained and move on to my second point, which is righteousness or wisdom is shown when our hearts are connected to the abundance of God. Either you and I are connected to God through Christ, or we're not connected. We aren't linked up to the abundance of God. Listen to chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Verse 14, wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool invites ruin. What is the righteousness that makes my mouth into a fountain of life? Well, Proverbs answers in a number of different ways. One way is mentioned in Proverbs 13, verse 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. You see, true wisdom is wonder and awe at the grace of our God, realizing who he is, what he gives, and we're afraid, we tremble in case we forsake that fountain of life. The book of Ezra has it like this: as the walls of Jerusalem are being rebuilt, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his great anger against all who forsake him. The abundant life, if we're fearing and connected and in awe of God. No wonder King David prayed in Psalm 36, verse 9, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." The fountain of life and light is God himself. God himself supremely has done that for us in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross for me and you. And yes, we need that fountain of life and righteousness. It begins when we come to the cross. I wonder, are you grafted into the grace and wisdom of God? Are you in Christ or not in Christ? Do you belong to him or do you not belong to him? Listen to Matthew 12, our gospel reading. "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit." See, when your heart is transformed, what comes out of our mouths is transformed. Back in Chester, when I was a curate, a young man came into church one Sunday. He was probably the most foul-mouthed person I've ever met. I've met quite a number of different foul-mouthed people. His language was not just constantly blasphemous, but also blue and incredibly crude. And Andrew came to see him. He had a deep sense of God's judgment on him. And we sat down and I explained the gospel to him. His heart was changed. And, you know, he came to see me about 3 months later. He said, "John, I'm not making much progress as a Christian." And I said to him, "Andrew, your language has changed totally since you asked Christ to be your King and Saviour." When I met him, he could barely read. He taught himself to read, went to university, and he's now a headmaster. And 28 years ago, I took his wedding and he married a doctor. Andrew's heart was turned inside out. He's given a new heart by Christ. And one way it showed itself was in the way he spoke. The gospel ends like this: "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they've spoken." How are we doing when it comes to our speaking? If we're honest, I think we'd all say we've failed in the past, we continue to fail. But wonderfully, God's grace is there for anyone here who wants that new heart. And do have a word with one of us on the team if you want to know that for yourself, and we can explain some more. So Proverbs talks about offering our different parts of our body to God. And do you know your daily worship can be in the very words you speak, what you say and what you don't say? Let's pray. Echoing the psalmist, King David, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over my mouth." And Lord, we can't do that ourselves, so we want you to renew our hearts Thank you, you are a God of new beginnings. You change lives. And we ask that that might begin with us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And so we stand to say our creed, which is on page 2 of our service sheet.